least of all, a creative one. "I want someone to take all the shit," he said. "I need someone to make the trains run on time." A job description that relegated a president to little more than a glorified administrative assistant. Roth readily agreed that he wasn't the person for that kind of job. Of course, Roth had no way of knowing that Eisner had begun criticizing him almost immediately after he became head of the studio, or that he'd asked Ovitz to line up a replacement. Eisner was suspicious and resentful of Roth's popularity, which he attributed to his profligate spending. Indeed, Eisner had diagnosed Roth's eagerness to be liked as a need to overcome the harassment and ostracism he'd experienced as a child after his father was one of the plaintiffs in a landmark 1962 Supreme Court case that banned organized prayer in the public schools. In the same email to Sid Bass in which Eisner lauded his meeting with Iger, Eisner compared Roth to Katzenberg. "Joe's ego simply cannot deal with having a boss. Not only does he not come to me or anybody else, but he is more into hiding the fact than Jeffrey ever was. As a result, I am again frustrated. If he was succeeding, I would be accepting of this arrangement. Unfortunately, we lost $60 million over the last three movies. We spent $90 million more than what was prudent this year, starting with Nixon and continuing with all our recent dogs. Not only has Joe not asked my opinion about the current films, ideas, scripts, or rough cuts, but I have not seen any of our summer releases. I am seeing them in the theaters on opening weekends. Spy Hard cost $18 million, I think, with a marketing budget going from $20 million to $27 million. Wow! With The Rock costing $72 million with $40-plus million on marketing, etc., etc. Last year we were okay with Joe because he had no problem limiting marketing spending, $5 million to $6 million, on Jeffrey's dogs. But there are no dogs in Joe's mind on Joe's films, and therefore he chases every film. Anyway, down the road I am going to have to teach Joe the realities of life." Eisner had strategic planning meticulously document Roth's spending and gave hard scrutiny to the studio's profit and loss statements. He found plenty of fodder for his theory that Roth was buying market share and personal popularity. Still, Eisner kept expanding Roth's duties, consolidating under him the divisions he'd separated after Katzenberg's departure, starting with television after Hightower was fired. Given that Eisner was badgering him to cut costs, Roth seemed annoyed that David Vogel insisted that he honor his promise to let him make some adult films with larger budgets. After the success of Dalmatians and George of the Jungle, Disney's live-action version of the popular cartoon series starring Brendan Fraser, Vogel told Roth that, "I've honored my part of the bargain." So Roth gave him the moribund Hollywood Pictures label, which he would run along with the Walt Disney label. Just 2 weeks into his new position, Vogel got a call from Jeremy Zimmer, an agent representing M. Night Shyamalan, in September 1997. "Knight's written a spec script," Zimmer said. "We've already sent it to New Line. If you can clear your lunch schedule, you should read it. You won't be wasting your time." Vogel knew this was agent speak for a hot script. Vogel had been following Shyamalan's career since reading his first script, Praying with Anger, and then